God's grace and his mercy be with you today from our Father in heaven and from Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I had a great vacation. 2 weeks with my parents up in Cape Cod and my family. Awesome, wonderful time. It's good to be back with you, but I had a great time up there. We did everything on the water you can imagine. My nephew and I, Mark, we went diving down and snorkeling to the bottom of a channel. Got to see all the beautiful bottom of the bay up there and feel that kind of Arctic water down at the bottom. I got to go sailing on my dad's Sunfish, which is a 14-foot sailboat. And I took it out into the bay one day and went out amongst a pod of 40 or 50 gray seals that have taken up residence in the bay, and they swim out to the ocean through a cut, through an outer deserted beach. So I sailed through them. That was fantastic. Then I brought the boat up over to a deserted stretch of dune on the outer beach, beached it there, walked around. There was only one other person there, probably 3 miles, nobody else, just me and that white sandy beach. I got to see the power of the surf, really blue ocean, brand, just beautiful white sands there. And I also did a lot of power boating up there with my family. My dad has a pontoon boat, and we were dragging the kids behind on the tube. You've probably done some of that. And Naomi and her cousin Ashley were behind the boat one day for about 2 hours. I pulled them around the bay, and they actually came in. They'd rub the skin off their arms. They were bleeding, and they were begging to go out again and do it the next time. So for 2 weeks, we've been washed, we've been splashed, we've been dunked, we've been submerged, we've been on the water and in the water, washed in the wonders of God's creation. Just so rejuvenating, and I love that kind of thing, as you know. But it's also great to be back here with you today, because I'd like to talk with you about a better kind of washing with water, namely baptism today. And before I left on vacation, remember the summer, we were talking about our new identity that God's given us in Jesus Christ. Like the saying says on 2 Corinthians there, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. And today I'd like to talk with you about our identity as baptized children of God. Is that really significant about being baptized, as having that as a super aspect of our new identity that we have before God, before Christ, that I'm baptized? Is it really that significant or not? Well, what encouragement does God have for us today through his word that I'd like to share with you about baptism? Well, first off, when you look at baptism, let's take a look here, actually, at some water. When you look at baptism, it really doesn't seem like much, does it? We bring a child a lot of times to the font, pour water on their heads 3 times in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. It takes just a few words and a few moments with a little water. Doesn't seem that significant, at least to our human reason, right? You take an adult maybe to the baptismal font or to the ocean. A lot of times I baptize in the Atlantic. Love to do that. And again, one time under the water, submerged, immersed, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, comes up out of the water. The whole thing takes about 30 seconds, maybe a minute, or even less just for the actual baptism, maybe 10 seconds or less. So to our human reason, when we think about our identity as being baptized, we think, is it really that big of a deal? Is it just a ritual? It just took place in a few moments? Doesn't look like much. It must not be much. And many Christians, consequently, kind of don't give it much thought. Our beloved Baptist and Pentecostal and many denominational, non-denominational friends and fellow Christians look at baptism as just an ordinance. It's a command that God has given, which we must obey. And that's mostly it. It's about a believer going public with his faith, making his profession of faith in the waters of baptism. And that's part of it, but they say nothing supernatural or powerful happens in these waters. It's simply a work we do in obedience to God's command. On our boat charter, we had a lady on the boat recently, a Christian, a believer. She was from the Salvation Army, though. And she said she was not baptized at all and saw no need for it. In fact, the Salvation Army teaches that there's really nothing but an outward appearance in baptism, and so they generally do not baptize children or young or old. They say it's basically inconsequential. So I actually asked her on that one. I said, how do you understand then John 3 where it says, truly, Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. She says, never really thought of that. Hopefully she will. But all this is to say that for the most part, when we look at baptism, it really doesn't seem that significant. It doesn't seem that powerful. But when we're talking about heavenly things, we need to go beyond our reason to the Word of God. We need to go beyond our perceptions and human appearances of things to the truth, to what God says about them. That's the only way we can really know about baptism, right? Is what God says to us about it. So let's take a look then at God's Word and see what he teaches us about baptism. What does God do for us there? Well, let's take a look at Acts chapter 2. Now, here is the day of Pentecost. Peter's been preaching. Then he comes to this wonderful conclusive statement. Let all the house of Israel therefore know assuredly that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucify. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Does that sound like there's something significant going on in baptism? He says, repent and be what? One more time? Thank you. Be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. So according to God and according to Peter, in baptism, God does a wonderful thing. It's for the forgiveness of your sins. Now, I heard a Baptist preacher once, one whom I actually greatly admire and aspire to be like, on the radio. But in this case, he spent about 5 minutes taking this verse apart to try to teach that for the forgiveness of sins does not mean for the forgiveness of sins. Because it really just doesn't match his theology. He tried to make it say, it's just going public with your faith. But I don't really read that in here. What I read, the Word of God says, is repent, be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. It's a wonderful gift that God gives you to wash you in the waters here. And that was Peter speaking. And is there really a washing away of sins, of your sins in baptism? As your identity, can you be sure of that? Well, we can take a look at another place. Let's take that one out and go to Acts chapter 22. A little later, Paul here is recounting his conversion to Christ. And he says here, verse 12 and following, and when Ananias, a devout man according to the law, well spoken of by all the Jews who lived there, came to me, and standing by me said to me, Brother Saul, receive your sight. And in that very hour, I received my sight and saw him. And he said, the God of our fathers appointed you to know his will, to see the just one, and to hear a voice from his mouth. For you will be a witness for him to all men of what you have seen and heard. And now, why do you wait? Rise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name. Did you say there's any washing away of sins in baptism? I need a verdict. You know, I've asked this to people, at least one I remember. I've said, is there any washing away of sins in baptism according to this verse? Rise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name. Doesn't fit your theology. It's kind of hard to say yes. But the scriptures, the only place to know about this, it says, rise, be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on his name. We're cleansed through faith, calling on his name, but it says, be baptized and wash away. So, you have a great gift today. You ought to lay this to heart. If you've been baptized in Christ and you've believed in him, God has given you the seal. You are washed. You are cleansed before me. Your sins I have removed from you. Isn't that beautiful? We don't want to miss that. What else does God do for us there? He saves us. Saved through water, though? Kidding? You kidding me? I'm saved through water? Well, I heard another preacher, evangelist on the radio one time say, no one in the Bible has ever been saved through water. And he was making the point to try to lead people to faith in Christ, and that's good. I agree with that part. But no one has ever been saved through water in the Bible? Can you think of an example? I can. Take a look, for example, at 1 Peter 3. Peter's preaching here. He says, Christ died for our sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, in which he went and preached to the spirits in prison, who formerly did not obey when God's patience waited in the days of Noah during the building of the ark, in which a few, that is eight persons, were saved through water. Baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you, says Peter. So what does he say? God saved Noah through water. He says, baptism, says Peter, corresponds to Noah being saved through water. He was saved through water. You're saved through water. Baptism saves, says Peter. So that's a great comfort to you today, isn't it? You coming today here not quite sure of your salvation? God has given you a sign and a seal of your salvation. Noah was saved through water. Naaman the Syrian was saved through water. Jonah was saved through water. The Old Testament priests were saved through water. They couldn't enter the temple without cleansing or they'd be killed. Israel was saved through water through the Red Sea, which Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10 corresponds to baptism. So you should be excited today. I have here my baptismal candle. Anybody still have theirs? Amazingly, I haven't lit this ever since I was baptized, September 27th, 1970, but I like to look at that and think the last time this candle burned and this melted wax right there and there is a remembrance that I have been immersed in the salvation of my Lord Christ. Therefore, I can have a strong confidence that God has cleansed me and saved me. Not only that, but he's washed us, he's saved us, we're reborn. Baptismal regeneration. You ever hear that? A lot of people speak against that too. But Jesus says this in John chapter 3, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. This is the one I tried to share with the Salvation Army lady. Hopefully that will get into her heart and mind. Because when Jesus says truly, truly, that means I'm not joking, right? This is something important. Born of water and the Spirit. Do you realize you're born again today? And that you can be confident of that through what God has done for you? Take a look at Titus. Go to another scripture. I could recite this one in my head. We ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice, hated by men and hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us. Not because of deeds done by us in righteousness, but in virtue of his own mercy. By the washing of regeneration and renewal in the Holy Spirit, which he poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that we might be justified by his grace and become heirs in hope of eternal life. The saying is sure. How did God save us here? By the washing of regeneration. What is that in the Greek? Washing is the word lutron, which means bath, act of bathing. What is regeneration? That's the word pollen genesia. Pollen, again, genesia, birth. The again birth. The washing, the bath of rebirth. That's how God saved you. And who did it? God did it. God saved us this way. And in the washing of the Holy Spirit, who does this wonderful thing for you in baptism to rebirth you. Why? Because you're buried and raised with Christ in baptism. Getting down to less numbers of notes here, you'll know I'm getting closer to the end of the sermon. So there's hope, but I have a ways to go. Romans 6. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can you, we who died to sin, still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death, says Paul? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we've been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. What happens in baptism? In your baptism, you were what? Buried and raised. Just like Jesus, you are united to what happened and when he saved you on that cross. God seals you in it. He unites you with Christ. And actually, we live this out every day. Every day, we're supposed to die to our old self and live as a new person before Christ, Luther says, not under law anymore, but under God's grace. Isn't that a wonderful thing? We don't want to miss that about our identity. Paul says in Galatians 3, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. How many? As many as were baptized have put him on. You've put on his righteousness as a cover and as a shield. His salvation keeps you. His new nature is upon you. Jesus lives in you. Through these waters, God has done this through faith in Christ. And in it, you receive the Holy Spirit. Now, in Acts chapter 10, Cornelius is the first unbeliever, Gentile, to come to the Christian faith. And he received the Holy Spirit before baptism. And indeed, the moment you believe in Christ, someone preaches the gospel, you believe, you really have the Holy Spirit. But what is the promise? Peter says in Acts chapter 2 again, on Pentecost, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So that's a wonderful thing. It's a promise to you that you are sealed, you have him, that he indwells you, and that he is your inheritance, the guarantee of your inheritance in heaven until the day that you acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. And I want to ask you, what have I said so far today that is not scriptural? All right, we're just simply reading the scriptures. Rise and be baptized and wash away your sins. Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Unless a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. God saved you by the washing of regeneration and renewal in the Holy Spirit. God has done these wonderful things for you, and we don't want to miss that this is something significant, though to human perception, human appearances, doesn't look like much. We go to the Word on heavenly things and say, thank you, God, for this great work. Now, in the Roman Catholic, in Luther's day, there was a problem because the Roman Catholic Church said that this water saves you apart from any faith that you have. In other words, by ex opere operato, by the performance of the work itself, it saves you. Luther rightly made the point that we're saved through faith. He says, actually, in our... Oh, there's all my notes. He says... Actually, here in the Large Catechism, without faith, baptism is of no use, although in itself it's an infinite divine treasure. Can God save you through water even though you don't believe in him, you reject him, you curse him, you don't serve or follow him? Can a person rely on baptism for a salvation in that case? By no means. We're saved how? Through faith in Jesus Christ, through his cross, through what he's done for us there, and God, for the encouragement and sealing of your faith, has given you this blessed sign and seal and sacrament that he has done this wonderful thing for you. He washes you in these waters, rebirths you, and saves you. Baptism is for a believer's strength and also for what God does for us in those waters. Some people speak against baptism because they say it negates faith. You're saying we're saved through water? What about faith in Christ? Well, I've just explained that. As Luther says here, if baptism, some are accustomed to ask, if baptism is itself a work, And you say works are of no use for salvation. What place is there for faith? In other words, we're not saved by works. Baptism is a work, therefore baptism doesn't save. Get it? Okay. Luther responds, and I would say the same, yes, it's true that works are of no use for salvation. Baptism, however, is not our work, but God's work. For as we said, you must distinguish between Christ's baptism quite clearly from a bathkeeper's baptism. God's works are salutary and necessary for salvation. They don't exclude, but rather demand faith. For without faith, one can't grasp them. Just by allowing the water to be poured over you, you do not receive or retain baptism in such a manner that it does you any good, but it becomes beneficial to you if you accept it as God's command and ordinance, so that baptized in Christ's name, you may receive in the water the promised salvation. Thus you see plainly that baptism is not a work that we do, but it's a treasure that God gives and faith grasps. So think about that. God has saved you through Christ. He has to bring that to you through the preaching of the gospel. You believe and hear and are saved, and he signs and seals you in this by washing and rebirthing you and regenerating you and promising his Holy Spirit to you in those waters that you are cleansed. Isn't that a wonderful thing? We've got to lay hold of this in our identity before God, especially when the world and the devil and we get down about things. I have been baptized. I can look at my candle and say, thanks be to God. So what difference does it make for us today? Well, first of all, acceptance before God. When I was in Cape Cod, one day we went out on our pontoon boat out into the midst of this pod of gray seals, 40 or 50 of them again. And they're all breathing around us. We turned off the boat. Naomi and I alone, we were drifting along, listening to them breathe all around us. And they were checking us out, popping their heads up, checking us out. And I was so excited, I just wanted to dive in. So I put my mask on, and I leaned over the back of the boat. I couldn't quite reach under the water. I wanted to see them under the water. So I then started climbing down the back ladder of the boat, and I tried to poke my head under to see them. But then I thought, hang on a second here. Never attacked a human, really, but then again, they are up to 680 pounds, 11 feet long, some of the bulls. If I can hear a baby, they have big teeth. Will they accept me? And I thought, probably, but I better not do this. In baptism, God gives it to you that you may be certain that he accepts you. And you can go home today confident that God accepts you through what he did for you there. You being a believer in Christ, that is. And it makes you fit for heaven. When we got home from our day in the outdoors in Cape Cod, showered, washed, cleansed myself to make myself ready for my family and the dinner table and the feast at night after the baseball game. So also, we're cleansed here, just like in the Old Testament days, God said, you shall make a laver of bronze for washing. Before you, the priests go into the temple, they have to wash. You shall put water in it, with which Aaron and his sons shall wash their hands and feet when they go into the tent of meeting, or when they come near to minister, they shall wash with water, lest they die. Unless a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom. That was a sign and a type to show that through this laver, through this washing, God cleanses you to make you fit to go into the presence of the King. You are clean. Can you say that today? I am clean. Through Jesus Christ, who gave his life for me. And God has cleansed me in these waters, that I may be sure of it. That's a beautiful thing. And it's a powerful thing that God does here. When I went on that beach, that deserted beach, actually the other day, I was a mile or two up. This is where the great white sharks are, by the way. But that water picked me up one day and threw me and slammed me onto the sand, and I didn't go and try that again. In fact, another wave came and almost broke my leg. And I realized the power of the water. But as Christians, what do we look for? What's powerful about this? Is it the water? It's not the water that does the cleansing. It's not the water that is the powerful thing. That's a mistake people often misunderstand Lutherans about. We're not looking to the water to do these great things. We're looking to the Word of God, the promise which he's placed in the water to do these great things, and it's always the Word that cleanses us. And that's what God says. Here's my last scripture for today, so you can be sure we're getting close to the end. He says, husbands, love your wives, Ephesians 5, as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing, there's that word bath again, by the washing of water with the word, that he might present the church to him splendor without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. What does it say? Jesus, the husband of the church, cleansed his church by the washing of water with the word, that we might be perfectly spotless. And so it's the word that we look to. The promise is for you and for your children, says Peter, and to all who are far off, to all whom our Lord God calls to him. And so who do we have to thank for all this? Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 5 says, Jesus cleanses us by the washing of water with the word. Titus 3 says, God saved us by the washing of regeneration. Titus 3 says, the Holy Spirit is the one who washed and rebirthed us. God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have done this great thing to give you a new identity, to unite and incorporate and assure you and seal you in Christ. And baptism, then, is a powerful thing that we don't want to forget, sealing us to Christ, forgiveness, and washed. Are you certain of that today? God has made you certain through his gift. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, if you'll please stand, we're going to have a confession of faith, a service of baptismal renewal, which comes straight out of Luther's catechism. So we'll take a look at that. Beloved in the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. Surely I'll be with you always, to the very end of the age. You and I were baptized in the name of the triune God, in fulfillment of our Lord's command, that we might receive the forgiveness of sins and life in his name. I invite you then to reaffirm your baptismal covenant with God and give answer again to these questions I now ask you. Dear baptized Christians, do you renounce the devil and all his works and ways? Do you believe in God the Father of the Almighty?
Yes, I believe.
In God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. Do you believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son?
Yes,
I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit?
Yes,
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And what is baptism? Baptism is not just plain water, but it is water included in God's command and combined with God's word. What does baptism give? Baptism works forgiveness of sins, rescues from death and the devil, and gives eternal salvation to all who believe this, as the words and promises of God declare. How can water do such things? Certainly, it's not just water, but the Word of God in and with the water that does these things, along with the faith which trusts this Word of God in the water. What does such baptizing with water indicate? It indicates that the old Adam in us, our sinful nature, should by daily contrition and repentance be drowned and die with all sins and evil desires, and that a new man should daily emerge and arise to live before God in righteousness and purity forever. Is it your earnest purpose to continue steadfast in this faith and in the promise of your baptism? It is, with the help of God. Will you be diligent in the use of the means of grace and prayer to sustain the new life given you in your baptism? I will. Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given you the new birth of water and of the Spirit, and has forgiven you all your sins, strengthen you with his grace to life everlasting. Amen. O families of the people, of peoples, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord glory, do his name, bring an offering, and come into his courts. You may be seated.